Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, what's up? You're listening to the Alternative Facts Podcast, Get Up Kids episode. My name's Chris Payne. I'm a staff writer at Billboard. I host this alternative music podcast every week. This time, we've got a big, long interview, so I'm not going to talk very much. Just going to jump right into this one. This is me talking to Jim Suptick and Matt Pryor of the Get Up Kids, two singer-songwriters of the excellent long-running emo band, one of my all-time favorites. Put out an EP called Kicker recently on Polyvinyl Records. Check that out. Excellent four-song EP. If you're into their classic stuff, something to write home about those years, I'm sure you'd be into this one. And they've got a full-length on the way. Interesting stuff coming from these guys. They're working on that full-length album now. April 2019 is what they're shooting for. There's some news on the album ahead in this conversation. They reveal the producer of the new album and some other details. And they looked back on their career a lot, too. All the old albums, Jim and Matt reminiscing on the classics, knowing what they know now. So I had a lot of fun doing this, and I hope you enjoy it, too. Here it is, my conversation with the Get Up Kids.
Questions go unanswered, it just keeps me moving on. I never want to miss your birthday parties. I just really want to see you smiling. Never want to have to say I'm sorry.
I didn't know there were so many rules to beer pong. I played it one time and I just boom, ding, in, I win. And they're like, no, you guys. And I was like, no, ball, cup, me win.
We had a guy.
Were you lunging across the table?
I don't know. Do you remember?
You can't cross the line.
I was drunk and we were playing beer pong.
That's like, some serious rules. Do you remember the guy? This guy in D.C. made a Get Up Kids beer pong table, like painted, laminated, and had us all autograph it for like his frat house or something. It was insane.
Actually,
cool.
There's actually another dude who works here at Billboard who would probably put that in his room. Would probably go crazy for that.
Maybe that's we could be selling those at the merch booth.
What do you guys have for merch? Because I know you guys have done scarves recently. There's been some cool stuff. What's the merch?
The soccer scarves.
We didn't
cool,
bring the soccer scarves because it was too hot. But t-shirts, tanks, beanies.
We did bring beanies. We had them on the West Coast. They did not sell well.
How are those beanies selling, Carly?
We actually have like four left.
Oh, okay, we have four left.
All right, guys, come out tonight. We got four
beanies left.
We pretty
much just went to the merch store that we have and cleaned it out and let's just take what we have. Because who knows? I mean, people might be planning ahead for Christmas presents, right?
Absolutely.
You never know.
We've done coffee mugs. We've done beer koozies.
I don't think
stickers,
we've ever really
pins.
Done insane things like dolls
done,
or anything.
Belt buckles or anything like that. You had a belt buckle?
Yeah. Belt buckle is probably, I'm going to guess that was counterfeit, but that's okay.
Stickers, patches. Iron-ons,
that
posters,
be cool.
Coin. We did a coin.
We actually
a valueless
a coin.
Yeah,
we started. It's like our own like Bitcoin. We started like Get Up Kid Coin.
Sure,
it's called
but
duck,
it tanked.
Duck coin.
It went bad real fast. Sorry if you invested in that.
So being on tour now, you know, you guys taking some breaks, you guys have, I'm sure, been involved in much longer tours, maybe tours when you were much younger, yes, and you could take things a lot more. What is different about tour right now? How is the tour? What is it like?
It's, you know, it's just, I don't want to sound like an old man, but it's just physically harder the older you get to be on tour. Like, a little bit, oh, my back, getting up, but, you know, all of us have families now and other commitments besides playing rock and roll music, so we definitely don't tour as long as we used to. I remember, like, our longest tour, we did 10 weeks straight. That's a long time.
65 shows in 70 days.
When was that?
99.
Okay, that was like...
It was like when Something at Home About came out, and was our first tour in a bus, and so we had to justify the expense of a bus by playing every goddamn day. It was awful.
It was insane, but we were young and dumb, and we were having fun. Now we're old and dumb, so...
This has been over, like, a month and a half or so?
Yeah, we did West Coast, took a break, now we're doing East Coast. And we got like a radio show in Kansas City, playing a fest in Chicago. It's not too crazy.
And we've got a month off, and then we go in the studio.
Yeah, tell me about that. Tell me how the new music is coming.
It's rad.
Yeah?
It's really best stuff I've ever written. It's going to knock your socks off.
I think it's in the... like
trying to project confidence.
Yeah. It's in the direction of the EP, I think.
Okay,
I think the
cool.
EP is a good sort of...
I think it'll have a little bit more dynamics to it, though. Like, the EP is pretty much just like all bam, 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 bam. And this will probably, you know, I mean.
Can we announce who's doing it now? Can we say who we're working with? Our contract signed?
We're looking at our label and PR representatives.
I think you can.
Okay. We're going to be working with Peter Kadis.
Oh, very
cool. Connecticut.
Oh.
He engineered On a Wire, our record.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I mean, if you don't know who he is, the other stuff that he's done.
He's worked with the National, Interpol or some of the big ones.
So
we're very excited. he's a friend, and so it's going to be fun.
Well, and the whole story is that, like, he was the engineer on a Wire. Huh? And there was another producer on it, and I'm apparently a bit groggier than I thought I was. I have kind of like a sexy cold voice. But, so the idea is, like, we both feel like we want to, like, kind of, not that I hate that record, but it didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to. And so this is kind of like, kind of getting to do a do-over and, like, have something to prove. And I don't know, I think it would be really good.
And there's a kicker table in the basement.
That's true.
That we bought when we made On a Wire, so we get to play foosball downstairs. It's all full circle, man.
Cool. And you mentioned that it's going to generally be following on the sound of Kicker.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty distinctly different sound from the On a Wire sound.
Yeah, well, On a Wire was specifically intended to be distinctly different because it was like trying to, you know,
it's going to be a rock,
be creative.
It's going to be a loud rock record.
Okay.
The songs are, I don't know. They're good. The demos were started. We still have a lot of work to do. Let's just say
I think
that,
it'll need to have at least some dynamics, though, like a, you know, maybe a ballad or two. And it just, I don't know if 10 to 12 songs of all songs that are that fast will be that interesting. It needs to flow a little bit more, but it'd be primarily a rock record.
Very cool. So do you have songs written already? Are you playing something maybe like unreleased now on the tour that's going to be on the album?
No, we've got 14 like loose, well, in various stages of development. Some of them are like songs that Jim had written all the way. Jim or I had written like all the way through. Some of them are just like sort of
jammed out, riffs.
Sort of like concepts that I still need to write lyrics to and all that kind of stuff. And so, and then like this one, just haunting piano ballad that James wrote,
ooh,
and it was just.
Ooh.
So far, it's just called The Bummer, because it's a sad song. Even as an instrumental, it's a sad song.
It's all those sad chords.
Well, so, you're going to have to come to bat for some lyrics for that one.
Oh, I got
it. You got to get to it where you're miserable.
No, don't, I got it.
The lyrics are pretty
worry.
Heavy. It'll get real.
Yep.
First track on that album.
It's not a love song. It's more of a crier.
This is the first song. We really just want to set the tone. Set the tone early.
I mean, like, in thinking about some of Peter Kadis' best albums, like,
boxer. Like, fuck. There's some really fucking awesome, beautiful, sad as fuck songs on that record.
And I'm also going to sing the whole record in a baritone.
Get that Peter Kadis sound.
Yeah. I know. I think I want the record to be like short and sweet. Like 10, 11 songs top. Like, just get, you know, here, boom, there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, absolutely. Like, what else? I was going to ask if you had any fun working titles, but sounds like you had the most fun working title. Any other notable songs kicking around this moment?
I've always wanted to call a record a ripper. So it's like, Get Up Kids, release a ripper. But I think that's probably stupid.
Banger?
A banger.
That's another good one. Slapper.
We already had Kicker, so maybe.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Kicker's a good... We should have called the record Kicker.
Usually they come out of sort of thin air. Like, Something Right Home About was my... I was on the phone with my mom telling her all these crazy stories that were happening in L.A., she said, well, I guess you'll have Something to Write Home About. I'm like, oh, man, that's perfect.
Yeah, but both that one and On a Wire ended up being like,
No, Guilt then, Show then, like, was a funny.
It's just kind of like, well, we need to have it titled by today. So if nobody comes up with anything better, then it's going to be Guilt called Show. Something to Write Home About.
Guilt Show is that Rob was driving by this church in Eudora, and it was like Annual Quilt Show, and he thought it said Annual Guilt Show. It's like a Catholic church. Like,
I mean, that would be pretty appropriate for a Catholic church.
It's funny.
And then, yeah, I still don't like the name There Are Rules. I got outvoted on that one.
Who was really riding for There Are Rules?
I don't know.
These turkeys.
It's unimportant. So next question, please.
And you're thinking like early next year for the album?
I think we're looking at April at some point.
April.
Right?
Let's hope.
Ish.
And Polyvinyl.
Yep.
I mean, we'll probably get the record back about 3 times with you need to make these changes or we won't release it.
Yeah,
that's how labels
their notes. Got to send it up to the suits at corporate, and they give us their input.
On the 40th floor of Polyvinyl. I don't hear a hit. You need to do it. You need 2 covers.
Do it again.
As they're smoking cigars.
You know, that makes me think, because I really wanted to ask you guys about the dynamic of having 2 singer-songwriters in a band, because
it's awful.
A lot of times you get to these instances where there can only be 1 lead single, or you're doing a special performance, and you can only do 1 song. You got to pick someone's. Like, how do you guys navigate that?
It's not often an issue. Like,
I don't know.
I'm always in favor of pushing his stuff because that just means I don't have to sing as much at the shows.
I think, but, I don't know.
Like, do egos get into that? Like, or how do you fight
honestly,
that?
Honestly, we've never really had a single in the sense of like, we're pushing the single to radio. We sort of like, haphazardly have gotten radio play or things like that. I don't know. Just I'm indifferent. I just want the best music out there, you know? I don't kind of indifferent. I don't have that big of an ego. Matt, do you have an ego?
It works. You know what? The thing is, though, it's not just 2 songwriters. It's like 5. So it's very much like... Like, we were kind of having this in this last batch of songwriting where it's just sort of like, even if I brought in a totally done song, it's not done until everybody in the band can, like, put their stamp on it.
I think some
it,
people
you know?
Want to put their stamp on it, even if it doesn't need their stamp. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to put my stamp on it.
But that's what makes it a Get Up Kids song as opposed to one of our other projects. Like, you know, James brings in stuff and it's like, sounds like Reggie. Everything he writes sounds like Reggie. But, you know, then we can take it and, you know... twist it around, but it's a bit of a battle, but it's not, I don't think it's an ego thing, but
maybe less so as you guys get older, because I mean the band is split up sometimes, I'm sure had its share of disagreements. Maybe you guys are just a lot more well adjusted now than you were when you were doing like promoting something to write home about.
I mean, we still fight all the time and we make fun of it, we pick on each other all the time, but I think we have a better idea of where the line is and try not to cross it unless it's absolutely necessary. So it's a lot like family in that sense. And it's kind of like I found with everyone in the band, if you let them do what they're good at, like if you let like Ryan and Rob come up with the groove, and you let James come up with like songwriting, like he'll come up with like good like harmonies and stuff like that. Like he can arrange things, and then it all kind of works. If I'm the one going like, no, the drums should go like this, then it's just like, I'm not a drummer. I don't know what I'm talking about. So I hope that answered your question. I'm not sure if it did.
You guys should let James do the album art.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard. It'll be like a chicken eating a chili dog.
What's his clown? That Boozy the Clown? He's got tattooed on his leg. It's like this hand-drawn clown with a bottle of hooch.
James' brain works in very mysterious ways.
Mm. Do you think you guys, since like the early days of the band, the early EPs, the first album or two, you guys all started to split up and do different projects? I mean, James toured with My Chemical Romance, you know, Rob Pope playing with Spoon. Do you think getting those experiences with other like established bands kind of helped mature you guys when you have your dynamic together in the studio?
I think that like playing with other people ultimately makes you a better songwriter and performer that you can then bring back to it. I think a lot of our dynamic just amongst the five of us was forged pretty early on. And so no matter what, if it's just like, if James will come back and be like, well, in My Chem we did this, we go, yeah, in My Chem we did this. We just like make fun of him about it. And he's like, well, this isn't My Chem, dude. And
I think our dynamic also is that we were friends for so long. Like Rob and I were in first grade together. So there was like, I was friends with like the Pope brothers before we ever played music together. And so there's sort of those relationships intertwined, as opposed to, hello, for fellow musician, here's a...
Well, yeah, and all those skills of being on tour and being in the studio, we all learned at the same time. Like, it's not like one of us went out and learned how to be a touring musician and came
all right,
back
guys,
and
here's how you do it.
Here's how we do it. So,
thinking back, knowing what you know now, if you could give yourself then advice, like, what would you tell yourself? Say, like, tell your, like,
save,
maybe...
Save money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Save your money.
I'm thinking, like, maybe, like, right after, like, 4 Minute Mile came out, when you were starting to get some attention from labels and things were just blowing up and you guys were, like, 18, 19, what would you tell them?
I'm not going to say we shouldn't have put out On a Wire when we put out On a Wire, but there are definitely times where it's, like, maybe we could have played the game a little more than
we
did.
What does that mean?
Meaning, like...
Ellis said it best. Ellis was our booking agent. He was like, you need to spoon feed these kids a little bit. He's like, you can't just go out and do a 180 on them and expect them to go along for the ride. And we're like, nah, they're all listening to Wilco now. They all know what's going on. And then turns out they weren't. And it was just,
you know.
But now that's like everybody's like, I love that record.
The music industry is, yeah, we always laugh at our crowd when they're like excited. Like, you weren't clapping in 2002. But, I don't know. A lot of music industry in general is hindsight. Mm-hmm. Is 2020
but
about
at the same
decisions.
Time, I think making those decisions and deciding to do something creative and taking a chance, and whether that chance succeeds or fails, establishes that like, A, we're not going to be a cookie cutter of ourselves our entire lives, and that B, like, we are doing this for ourselves first. And you know what I mean? Like, it has to make us happy in order for us to do it, because for better or for worse, we can't seem to fake it. And the times that we've kind of faked it, like when we had broken up but then still went on tour, and even our manager was like, you guys suck tonight. Like, yeah, who cares, you know?
That was like guilt show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I had something important to say and I forgot, but...
About how bad you sounded that night?
No, just... I don't know. It is what it is.
I think it's ultimately like it has led to a lot of us still having a career now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I know what I was going to try to say. I think like when our band started becoming successful, like you have to imagine when we started emo music or whatever that was. I mean, like think of like bands like The Promise Ring or something, like Jawbreaker, whatever they were selling was 50,000 records or something was like insane. Like And to us, that's about, that's how big you get. We get to go to Europe.
No,
we,
it was like 10.
Yeah, even then, like we drop out of school.
The Promise Ring sold 10,000 records.
That's, but never that's in crazy. Our wildest dreams would we think like our music would be on MTV 120 minutes or, you know, it just wasn't a realistic thing. So it's been a strange, like the trajectory of our band, we never really tried to like, okay, this is how you do it. All right, we're going to work the radio single. We're going to do that. Like, that wasn't even in our worldview, because that's just not what bands. And then, you know, this style of music became popular. And now then people, we got to sound like this if we want to be on MTV. And like, that just wasn't where we were coming from. And so it sort of dictated our entire career,
like,
I guess.
At that time, we had gotten sick of like the scene to a certain degree. It was when like, it seemed like there was that whole like early 2000 like feeding frenzy of trying to sign, you know, every young band who ironed their hair, you know, and it didn't.
I've never ironed my hair. Just, know, I'm gonna put that on public record.
Straightened, yeah.
Well, we were getting more into like, we were kind of going backwards at that point, like listening to a lot of like Beatles and Kinks and stuff like that, and so it just. I don't know. We just did our own thing.
Do you think generally, like, steering clear of the major label thing, how do you think of that now?
Yeah, we kept it real, didn't we?
I mean, I'm sure you guys had some interest.
There were moments.
We used to make these jokes about how we've never been a professional band because we've never been on a major label.
That's not
so
true,
we've just
though.
Been putting out demos for 20
we
years.
We were on a major label in Japan. We were on.
I know. It's such a funny thing. I think that the whole like
a German. We were on a German major label. So
were we?
We totally sell out overseas, but no, we had interest.
We're like
from
actors who
labels.
Only do commercials in Japan.
Yeah, we got wined and dined overseas. A little bit. Flown out to L.A. And we almost did sign to a record label called Mojo.
Okay.
Which is, I don't think, a label anymore. But they, at the time, like Goldfinger was on there, Cherry Pop and Daddies. Real, you know, 90s.
You could have gone on tour with Cherry Pop and Daddies.
We could have done it. let's just think about the name of that band.
Yeah, like, that's not aged.
That's,
I mean, that was weird
that
in
is
1998,
not. You wouldn't
I'm
be
sure.
using that one in this day and age.
Oh, well, I didn't, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
That's rough. So, are there other band names? Like I'm trying to forget it.
What was the other big, like, not Boston's, but like the other bad, like, swing revival bands?
Let's move on.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
You're going to get us just talking shit on people that we shouldn't. Trust me, the music industry is not that big. We'll run into whoever we make fun of today at a festival somewhere.
Remember the horn player, sax player, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy going to be in Jersey City tonight?
You never know. Stranger shit's happened. That dude from Black Veil Brides kept coming up to us.
Did you say Mighty Mighty Bosstones?
He did.
Because there's a funny story. We played. I have to tell the story because it's so funny. So we were playing Riot Fest, and James comes out of a porta potty, and there's a guy like.
It wasn't a porta potty. It was like one of those like trailer. It had stalls.
And he comes out and says, like, "Hey, they're out of toilet paper in there." He thought it was like an attendant, and the guy looks at him and goes, "I don't give a fuck." And it was like the trombonist of Mighty Mighty Boston.
He was just standing outside of the bathroom wearing a suit.
And James thought he was like an attendant to the porta potties. Oh my God. Good times.
Because he had that suit on.
Yeah. He tricked him.
That's
straight up.
That's how they dress those porta potties.
I love that he said, like, "I don't give a fuck." It's just so pissed. Good times.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It sounds like Mojo wouldn't have been... There were other alternative rock bands there at the time.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Who knows?
And Gold, I mean, yeah, like...
Who knows what the world would... How the world would be different. We wouldn't be on the dark timeline right now.
Yeah, and Goldfinger is John Feldman, who's now like a super...
Producer guy,
awesome
yeah.
producer for huge punk bands.
We became really good friends with the A&R guy, Eric, who tried to sign us, who's still a good friend of ours. So, yeah, it was just, I don't know. It just wasn't meant to be. And here we are now.
Do you kind of get the sense that because you guys came before a lot of those early 2000s bands where the industry worked for them a little bit better, like it was sort of a crash course for you guys and things weren't really set up yet, so yeah. It just wasn't meant to be, but then you guys put in the work.
Perfect example of it was at K-Rock, and they were trying to push On a Wire for like a single, and K-Rock told our manager, you know, if they would have put out a record that sounded just like Something to Write Home About, now we would be playing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you weren't playing it when we put out, because I think it was like Limp Bizkit and Korn is what they were playing. Like,
and Steal My Sunshine.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, there you go. We're just one step ahead, two steps behind.
I mean, I didn't, at least for me, and I kind of feel like we all felt this way, we weren't like that calculated about it. Like, it wasn't like, oh, this is like... what we need to do for our career. It was just kind of like strictly like creative decisions, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we didn't really think about it in terms. We're probably a bit more calculated about stuff now, as far, not necessarily as far as creatively goes, but like
actually
about
care
like,
about our career and
like,
decisions.
Oh, do
we
you
make?
Do you want to go to South by Southwest? And it's like, well, no, but I will if we need to, you know, like if, you know, just trying to make decisions like that. But at the time, it was just very much like... And then again, that's why you get into the On a Wire thing, because you're like, well, everything we've tried so far has worked. Let's try this thing and see what happens. And, you know...
Yeah, you didn't have an obvious commercial plan that you were trying
to
carry out.
No, not at all.
I don't think we've ever had a commercial plan, to be honest. I mean, yes, record label, we're...
trying to be company men.
We are moving units. Is that what they say? Moving units.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the new EP sounds great. I mean, I heard a lot of influence from the first couple albums, the first two specifically, and I think a good amount of other people have echoed that too. Were, you know, 4 Minute Mile, the EPs, Something to Write Home About, were those really something you were trying to pull from with the new stuff?
Not specifically like that derivative, but more like just like what are we good at, like let's write
harmonies,
rock songs.
Yeah. Big choruses, catchy songs, you know, like that's like let's like work with build on what we are good at. Yeah.
John Reese from Rock from the Crypt and mm-hmm. Hot Snakes and Drive with Jay, he's like, you guys write anthems, why don't you write more anthems? And I was like, all right. Let's do that.
And he had a cigar. Go, see, here's what
we're going to write some anthems, see? So I Googled things that rhyme with anthem. But yeah, it was just kind of trying to be like, it's kind of a like, you know, don't overthink it, you know, keep it simple, stupid kind of thing. And then James is in the corner going, make it faster.
Well, you guys do good with fast songs.
Yeah.
It was funny because, like, the song Maybe, we were like, is it too fast? And now hearing how slow it was when we first were playing it, it's like, come on, Grandpa, kick it up a notch.
I mean, James' part does sound really good in there. That was the one I had, like, written aside, like, this sounds like Guilt Show.
You think Maybe does?
Yeah.
Hmm. See, I think Better This Way is the one that sounds like Guilt Show. It's, like, more like rock and roll sounding.
I like my guitar part on that song.
Yes, I know you do, Jim.
Real proud of that.
And I really like Guilt Show. Like, when I first got into you guys, that was the new album.
Mm.
I was like sophomore, junior, and then like The One You Want. That's a great song.
Thanks.
Man of Conviction, open up the album. That's a fast one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jim, you going to play Man of Conviction tonight?
Sure, I'll have to learn it.
And then, because I kind of always wondered why in the shows kind of right after that, a few years after, you guys were playing like one or two songs from Guilt Show, and I was like, maybe they don't like the album for some reason?
No, it's just you get, I think you get a little bit, when you have certain songs that like the whole crowd goes crazy for, you can get kind of addicted to that a little bit, and it makes you kind of like not want to like necessarily take a chance on the stuff that people don't know. And now I feel like we're to a point where like
we're kind of digging deep. We were playing Sympathy on this tour. We're playing Martyr Me,
but it's like
a lot of those songs also, I think, just it's hard to fit into the set that work, you know. I don't know, some songs are better album tracks than live tracks.
Sure. And also, like, if you're just playing every night those songs that get the huge crowd reactions, if you do that for too long, you can go down that path where people just expect the same songs every show, and you're a nostalgia band.
And that's what we don't want to be. I mean, I appreciate nostalgia. It keeps money in my wallet, but it's not all I want
to
do.
Well, but the kind of company line is like we're trying to celebrate our past while moving forward.
Sure.
And not just, don't want to be Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. Like, if the coach had only put me in that big game, throw football over these mountains.
If only we were assigned to Mojo.
What did you guys think of getting a good Pitchfork review for Kicker?
Well,
because they did not like the early stuff.
It's always something, though, with them. I don't know, man. They have to get a dig in. Like, they can't. It's fine. But they're just like the whole jumping on the adult emo bandwagon. I was like, that's not a thing. You just made that up.
I like reviews that actually review the music and not like some sort of personal, you know, I don't know. I just think sometimes
context, the narrative is important to explain things to readers.
I also think
our most popular record got a 2 out of 10. So
there's always like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, I thought There Are Rules, the album that we put out before this new EP. I mean, it's kind of a weird indie rock, more arty record. It's got crazy pedals and not big choruses. But I felt like the hardest part for that, the sell of that record, is like our name is on it. Almost as if it was some other band that just put out this record. It would be reviewed completely differently, as opposed to it's like we have baggage that comes with the good or bad.
People
you know?
Are much more forgiving of us as individuals being experimental than of us as collectively as the Get Up Kids being experimental. And that's not good or bad.
In terms of like your solo things,
yeah, that's been my experience anyway. But I don't know.
It doesn't stop us making music.
It's a review. Don't live and die by them.
I think Clarity from them got an even lower score than Something to Write Home About.
Well, that's just foolish. Wonder what Foolish got.
I don't think they were entity when Superchunk put out Foolish.
What was it like when Rob joined Spoon? Because at that time, they were like a hipster-approved big indie rock band.
I think they still are.
And they still are, yeah.
He actually joined that band during the period that our band was broken up. Mm-hmm. So it was more just like, hey, man, congratulations. That's a good gig.
He kind of joined his favorite band.
Oh, okay.
we were all big Spoon fans, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's been in that band for like 10 years now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
10 or 11 years. Yeah. Just, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scheduling nightmare.
It's difficult for us. Yeah. But,
you can't, it's like talking to Dan about Skiba being in Blink-182. It's just like, you can't like be pissed at him. Like, it's like, that's an amazing opportunity.
Did you chat with him about that recently?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it all the time. He and I went on tour together last year.
Oh, cool. That's right. And Alkaline Trio is doing Riot Fest, so they're doing
I think they're doing a whole U.S. tour.
Yeah, you're right. They are.
So good for them.
Yeah. In everything, like with balancing, like because you have families.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have a geology degree? Aren't you doing geology?
I do. I have a degree in geology. I'm not using my degree. I was working for USGS for a bit and then quit to go on tour with the Get Up Kids. And now I work for a nonprofit called Steps of Faith, and we get prosthetic limbs to amputees who don't have insurance or underinsured.
Oh,
but the guy who kind of helped start that organization, my friend Billy, he was a drummer of a band, Blackpoolites, that I played in after Get Up Kids. He lost his leg to cancer, and he was a drummer. He was living in Nashville, and started this. So since he's a, you know, he's a musician, he's like, go on tour when you go on tour. I've been working a little bit on the road, but it's hard to find a job that I can have when I'm home and go, hey, I'm going to be gone for 2 months.
Well, that job sounds seriously awesome. That's incredible.
It's another level of scheduling, too, that we have to deal with. Because, like, he's their big event, their big fundraising event's, like, in November. So he's like, I can't do anything in October. Yeah. Because it's like, I need that whole month off.
It's called Thunder Gong, if you're in Kansas City. We did it last year. Jason Sudeikis hosted it with Fred Armisen and Will Forte. It was like a rock and roll show. Winona Judd sang last year. Her husband, Cactus, is on our board of directors. He's an amputee, lost his leg in a motorcycle accident, and there's crazy stories, but it's awesome. We help a lot of people.
It's a good organization.
Undocumented people, like, we'll help anybody. We just want to get people walking. Cool. There you go. There's my plug. Steps of Faith.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the description of the show for sure. Cool. But
I can tell you about rocks though too.
What is So igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic.
That's it. Good job. That's all you need to know.
Which is the best kind?
You just need to know which kind give you oil and gas, right? Fracking? Come on.
That was Houghton. It was a fracking joke.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
You don't need.
Yeah. Anyway, though.
It's sedimentary rock, by the way, if you're looking for oil.
That was such a bad bad dad joke.
I was
completely over his head.
Now tell me about the rocks.
No,
I love geology. I just don't. If I would have gotten a job full time doing that, I wouldn't be here right now. So it's, but I'm glad I have a degree. I graduated cum laude, so I did pretty good.
He's the only member of the band that has a college degree,
and I let them know that all the time,
all the goddamn time, and he's using it all every day. Talking about what formations were passing by.
I love it. I nerd out. They get sick of hearing about it. Like, look at those folds.
There's a lot. And there's a lot.
Look at that uplift.
There's a lot of dad jokes to be had with that.
Like, you went from one kind of rock to another kind of rock.
Yeah. I was thinking along those lines that there's plenty of dad jokes to be
That's
dispersed.
Almost as clever as when people call us, like, get up men. Which happens.
They'd all say, or they'd say when
Fallout Boy gets that when they release. Like,
I always just say, if the Beach Boys can still be boys, then
Sonic Youth, well, they broke up. That's
Oh, God, do you remember that? I had this thought the other day because I played in Bloomington, Indiana, and we played at this guy's house in Bloomington, Indiana, and we slept on his floor. And when he wanted to go to work, he came in there and he went, "Get up, kids up, get out of my house." I thought that was
everybody.
It's always
is
stuck
a comedian.
In my head.
I don't even know that. Everyone is.
So go Royals. Go check out Kicker. Go Peter Kadis. Mm-hmm. Go sad piano song leading off first track on the new album.
I doubt it's going to be the first song.
It sounds like people will know it when they hear it, though.
They'll know it.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Anything else, guys?
When's this come out?
Within a couple weeks.
Cool.
Not much. I mean, we might have some dates that get announced by the time this comes out. Check the internet, right?
We might be playing some shows. Some people weren't very happy that we weren't playing a few places on this tour.
Yeah, they got kind of bitchy about it online.
And so all you angry internet people.
I'm not going to buy their EP because they're not coming to the Midwest. And it's like, of course we're going to go to the fucking Midwest. We're gonna do
they're not
US.
Playing Scranton. I'm over
no,
this
it
band.
It wasn't that bad. It was just like, what do you mean you're not coming to Chicago? And I'm like, yeah, we're going to do a whole U.S. tour and not play in Chicago. Just chill the fuck out.
So the Get Up Kids still love the Midwest. Good to know.
Of course. We love everybody.
Yeah, that's it. That was the show. I threw a link to Jim's organization, the one he mentioned towards the end of the episode there. I threw a link to that in the description. Check that out. Sounds like they're doing some really, really excellent work there. And if you liked the show, we've got a bunch of other interviews in the archives of other artists I've spoken to who I think you'd be into if you sought out this interview with the Get Up Kids.
had Me Without You a few months back, The Wonder Years, Under Oath, Nothing Nowhere. So to find those and a bunch of others, search for hashtag alternative facts, all one word, no spaces. Search for that in iTunes or the podcast app, your phone. Find those there. And to keep up with all things on the show and all things that I'm doing in my life covering music for Billboard, give me a follow on Twitter at cpayneonaplane. That's at cpayneonaplane. cpayneonaplane. Find me there. And yeah, that's it. That's all I've got for you guys. As always, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.